woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, partner, and engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Well, happy May Day. And today we are celebrating Labor Day, May Day, or as I said, it's known as Labor Day. It's a public holiday in many countries worldwide, and it usually occurs around May 1st, which is today. I can't believe it's May 1st. But the date varies across country. It is associated with the start of spring as well as the celebration of workers. May Day, known as Labor Day, in some countries is a day of rest. But there is no rest for Labor Day here in Sonoma County. A special shout out to what happened on Saturday. We rise, we resist, we build. People marched for jobs, justice, and climate. And the gathering was in solidarity with the People's Climate March in Washington, D.C. And it was really interesting. We got to see our new square here in Santa Rosa. I have mixed feelings about it. I'm gonna mull about it and go and walk downtown and see if I can get used to it. But congratulations. We finally do have a square, and it was a beautiful, beautiful day yesterday. And I want to do a special announcement because what's happening today at the JC is a program called Take Back May Day. It's going to be starting at 11 o'clock. Oh, actually, it started at 11 o'clock. It's starting right now, and it's going to be ending at 7 o'clock tonight. It's at the Santa Rosa Junior College on Mendocino Avenue. And the host organization is the North Bay Jobs with Justice and SEIU Local 1021. They're going to be having a full day of teach-ins, art, music, information, and rally. And like I said, it was organized by the North Bay Jobs with Justice, SEIU 1021, the Santa Rosa Junior College Young Democrats, and the Santa Rosa Junior College Sociology Department. So I would really encourage people to go down to the JC if you're really interested in celebrating May Day to become part of that organization. Anyway, I have two special guests with me this morning. Joining me in the studio is Annie Dobbs Kramer, who is a community organizer for the North Bay Organizing Project here in Sonoma County, and we'll be talking about Measure C, rent stabilization, although I heard when I was at a rally on Saturday that people said they're calling it some form of rent control, but according to the measure on the ballot, it is for rent stabilization. Also with me in the studio is one of my regular guests, and actually Susan Lamont, who is my first guest when I first opened the airs with Women's Spaces. She's a local activist and one of the co-founders of the Police Brutality Coalition. And we are going to get an update on several of the projects that she's involved in. And, you know, one of the things that happens that I'm noticing in our local papers, we're not familiar, they're not giving us the information on some of the grassroots organizations that are really working very hard in our community. Well, this morning I'm going to be doing things a little different. So I'm going to welcome my guest, Annie Dobbs Kramer. Welcome, Annie. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine.
Well, Annie, before we start, I would like to tell my listeners a little bit about you. Annie's been very much involved in the North Bay Organizing Project. She's actually one of their community organizers. Her main focus of Annie's work is integrated voter engagement, connecting people to the electoral process through issues that affect them, such as housing, education, and transit. Annie's goal is to develop powerful women leaders. I like that. Powerful women leaders. I mean, if we can give birth to children, we can certainly lead. We can certainly do things and really build a lot of things. I mean, think about it. If it weren't for the women, we wouldn't even have a civilization.
Amen.
You know, so, I mean, we really have to think about that. So, like I said, she's an organizer, and Annie's goal is to develop powerful women leaders to build the future of our community. The North Bay organizing project is building a powerful people's organization in Sonoma County. Well, Annie, thank you so much for coming into Women's Spaces and talking about this very important election that's coming up on June 6th here in Sonoma County. But before we start that, give us a little background about the North Bay Organizing Project, its goals and purpose.
So the North Bay Organizing Project is a community organization which is comprised of about 21 member institutions. So we have churches, unions, environmental groups, community groups, all coming together under a common purpose and shared values of increasing people's access to democracy, growing civic engagement, dismantling white supremacy and patriarchy, and really working together to make a more inclusive society and build power to do so, because the people's control of our economy, of our communities, that doesn't just happen because it's a good idea. It happens because we build power, and we build power through having relationships with one another. So we have a beautiful organization where a lot of people from all different walks of life, from all different organizations, can get together and build relationships and move ideas and issues through shared common values.
Well, you know, Annie, you and I met during when we were trying to do district elections. That was an amazing process. I mean, I really learned about the political structure through that action that I was involved with you. But what I'd like to know is tell our listeners a little bit, how did you get involved with the North Bay Organizing Project? And, you know, what is your background a little bit?
So I got involved with the North Bay Organizing Project. I've been involved for a long time. I've been on staff for about the past 3 years, 3.5 years. I got involved. I was trained as a community organizer, and I did organizing in Oakland for about a year, and then I came back to Sonoma County. I'm born and raised in Sonoma County, and I actually did some environmental organizing for quite some time, and then ended up joining the North Bay Organizing Project. My background is really in electoral organizing, and one of the things I found is that during election season, people come together. People are kind of like battle buddies. They bond together, and then the day after the election, it all just goes away, and all of that fabric just disappears. And so that's what I learned from electoral organizing. And so when I came into community organizing, one of the things that I love, especially about my role in terms of civic engagement, is that I have the opportunity to bring the electoral organizing piece into community organizing. So instead of, you know, we think of integrated voter engagement as something that happens 365 days a year. So through this process, through engaging the community organization and community organizing model, we can turn elections into moments where we can grow movements, where we pull people into longer-term movements that don't just end on election day.
You know, it's real interesting. You know, oftentimes people say, oh, my vote doesn't matter. And I say to them, well, how come they're working so hard to redistribute voting areas and they're trying to help you not vote if it's not important?
Yeah, particularly on the local level, voting really does matter and your vote does count.
Oh, man. Tell us about it. We know that too well, you know, especially going to city councils and to board of supervisors. You see how important your local people are and how important local elections are. I mean, I'm really frustrated when I hear 34% go out to vote when it should be at least 90%. I mean, that's just my feeling. Well, you're here to talk about Measure C, and
yes.
I know there's been a lot of controversy. And what's so interesting about Measure C, if you give us just a little bit background, because I know that the city council had passed something to do work with rent stabilization, but then all of a sudden a community came out and they start doing had people sign a petition, and then all of a sudden it went on the ballot. So can you give a little background on that? What happened there?
Absolutely. So last year in early fall, the democratically elected City Council of Santa Rosa passed a rent stabilization and just cause eviction ordinance after 2 years of study, very in-depth study and consulting with lots of experts and holding lots of community engagement meetings. They passed an ordinance. I think it's really important to stress that this was the democratic elected city council that passed an ordinance. And then some outside corporate interests for whom the ordinance did not suit them well, they came in and paid petition gatherers to collect signatures. And there are 151 pending allegations of election fraud because of the signature gathering and the way the tactics that were used in the gathering of signatures.
Well, I just want to interrupt you here. You mean even though they found some discrepancies in the signatures, it still went on the ballot?
Yes, there were enough valid signatures to get it on the ballot. However, there is an ongoing investigation about those 151 allegations of election fraud.
Well, you know, I was trying to figure out, you know, because one of the things on the show that you're supposed to invite the opposition, I could not quite figure out. So if anybody's out there listening, they can email me at elaine@womenspaces.com and give me a contact person. But in the meanwhile, I'd like to talk about, you know, what I don't understand. Like, I mean, I'm a resident of Santa Rosa, and I cannot believe that I've gotten about 8 pieces of literature already on 11 by 14. Mm-hmm. And one of the literatures is really interesting. It says here, those who know best agree. And, you know, nobody knows better than the voters, you know. Mm-hmm. So you need to study the initiative. But talk a little bit about it. What is the initiative about? What is the measure about? What is it going to bring to the people of Sonoma County?
Or
Santa Rosa, rather.
So Measure C is the initiative for rent control and just cause eviction. And it is goes to the ballot on June 6th. If we pass Measure C, it will put a cap on how much rents can be increased per year. Now, I just want to mention that rent control applies to multi-unit complexes that are built before 95. So for those folks who have a granny unit, which is helping them, you know, augment their Social Security, they will not be affected. Single family units will not be affected. This is just for multi-unit complexes, and it's specifically made that way to target more corporate landlords as opposed to those folks who are just trying to make ends meet by renting out a granny unit or a single family home. It caps rent increases on those units affected at 3%. And 3% was decided on by the city council when they passed the ordinance because it was deemed that percentage was enough to give landlords a fair rate of return on investment while at the same time protecting tenants from egregious rent increases. So right now, rents can be raised pretty much as a landlord wants, and we are hemorrhaging people. We are losing people every day from our community. Our nurses, our teachers, our baristas. I grew up here. I was born and raised here. And if rents keep going up, I might not be able to stay. So it really does affect our entire community. It cuts across a lot of economic lines.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. We wouldn't need rent control if we really had the moral consciousness, you know, to do a fair rent. I mean, to me, when I start looking at all this stuff, I start thinking of the housing crisis, all of a sudden people buying up units, and mm-hmm. then all of a sudden this upsurge of rents, and then all of a sudden people being evicted. So I'd like you to just talk a little bit about what is this just cause eviction? What does that mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So just cause eviction simply means you have to have, excuse me, a reason to evict a tenant. So right now, you don't have to have a reason. You cannot like the color of a person's skin. You cannot like the way they look at you, and you can evict them for no reason. I had, excuse me, Elaine. I had an instance that I was just remembering a few years ago where a woman got served an eviction notice because the on-site manager had made advances at her, and she had refused, and so she got an eviction notice, right? So right now, there is really... A tenant can be evicted for any reason. Now, just cause eviction simply means you have to have a reason. So if a tenant doesn't pay rent, if they break a lease, if they mess up a property, if there's any sort of criminal activity, if you need to move back into the house or your relative needs to move back in the house, there's all sorts of reasons. All just cause says is you have to have a reason. It protects tenants. We're in a situation right now where power is weighted so heavily towards the landlords. This is one small step in an effort to give tenants some power.
Well, what is the resistance then? I mean, what is the fear on the opposition? I mean, why is so much? I mean, I hear rumors, and I haven't quite put my hand on it if it's true or not, but I hear there's almost $1 million is coming in on this election. And I mean, from looking at some of the literature that I'm getting, I can actually see that. And you know, myself, you know, I'm not trying to tell people how to vote, because that's not my job here on the radio. But one thing I will encourage people to do is ask the question. Mm-hmm. When you get all this literature, you know, I mean, I've got 2 pieces on yes. One was a black and white, and then finally I got a little colored brochure where Mayor Corsi is trying to explain what is going on. But other than that, I've gotten about six pieces of 11 by 14 that I know how expensive it is. So I try to encourage people to ask one question. Who is sending this stuff out?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing is, whose interest are they serving?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big question. Most of us, we follow blindly, and we don't realize that our culture, our environment, and our communities are being affected.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the average donation to the opposition is $10,000. So what you have is very few donors, each with a ton of money, bankrolling the opposition campaign. And this is really, you know, when you look at especially the trajectory of events in the past, you know, 8-10 months, where the democratically elected city council passed an ordinance. And frankly, big money just came in and overrode the democratic will of the people. And so now we're in a second struggle with that, right? Like, we do not have the kind of financial resources that our opposition has. We have our feet and our hearts and our phone calls, right? That's what we're doing. We're trying to contact voters in person and connect with them and talk to them about why this is so important. And the people who are going to knock on doors are people who are affected by this issue.
Talk about who's going to benefit from it.
Well, so, you know, the Measure C will benefit folks who live in apartments that will be impacted. Obviously, will definitely have a reprieve. You know, When I go to bed at night and I'm thinking about this, the people that I'm thinking of are the people that I work with every single day who face losing their homes if this doesn't pass, who face, you know, seniors, who face being on the streets if this doesn't pass. So obviously those folks who live in apartments that would potentially be affected by rent control will benefit. And then there's a huge, like, the ripple effect is just huge, right? So education, our schools would benefit, because right now our kids are getting pulled out of school left and right because people are having to move. You know, there's studies that show that kids who get pulled out of school before third grade have a 60% higher rate of mental illness. And these are kids getting pulled out of school. This is ripping apart the fabric of our society, of our community. And this is one way to start repairing it. So children would benefit, not just the children who are being pulled out, but the rest of the classroom. They will benefit. It's a public health crisis too. You know, we have tons of doctors that we're working with who are talking about, you know, patients deciding whether to buy their medication or pay their rent, okay, right? And it doesn't matter if you have, you know, medicine if you don't have a home and a place to refrigerate that medicine, right? So this is the ripple effects, the positive impact on this is huge. And the other thing is that, you know, this is a question of values, right? This is a question of who we are as a community. And this is a journey that we have the opportunity to go on together, which is about, you know, caring for one another, which is about being our brother's keeper, which is about saying that we do value diversity. Diversity is our best defense. Saying that we collectively matter, as opposed to only those people who have tons and tons of money. So
I like that. We collectively matter. I mean, that's a very, very important statement. And I just want to tell my listeners, you know, I can't help but notice that you're a young, strong woman. And it's so inspiring to me to be sitting across from you and to see your passion and your care for your community and caring. You know, one of the things that I just do not understand is how we ever set up the fact that that medicine is a profit, housing is a profit, food is a profit. These are all basic needs that we all have. That mm-hmm. Why are they putting a profit mode on it so they have to escalate prices? I mean, that's the question we have to ask ourselves. You know, there's a thing called greed, and I think that is really rampant all across the United States. And as women, I mean, because this is a women's show and women bring forward the future, the children, we have to start asking this question: what is behind all this? Mm-hmm. That we are put in such a place where we have to fear for losing our own home. Well, we're coming to the end of the segment, and I really appreciate you coming in and talking about this because it's very, very important. Now, what is the larger regional, statewide, and national content of this tenant protections? I mean, that's really what it is, folks. It's not rent control. It's not rent stabilization. It's tenant protection. It's protecting your rights to have a home. And why is that so complicated? So talk a little bit about, you know, the larger picture.
Yeah, so actually tenant protections are there are electoral battles. There have been electoral battles all over the state in the past year for tenant protections. Richmond, Palo Alto, Mountain View, Oakland just strengthened their rent control. And the reason why is because housing has become a profit center, right? And so it's about profits, not about someone having a roof over their home. And we believe, and we have a lot of allies all over the region and all over the state who believe that, you know, we have a right to a roof.
We have a right to medical, too.
You know, yeah, right? So this is something that is not just about Sonoma County, although, you know, Sonoma County is now the 10th least affordable place to live in the country. This is about a movement that is happening across the region and across the state and even across the country, because housing prices are just going up extraordinarily, and folks can't afford to eat where they, or they can't afford to live where they work, and they have to make a choice between paying rent and buying food. So this is not isolated to Sonoma County. And I just will reiterate that I think this is a question for us in Santa Rosa, and also, you know, in the region and the state and in the nation, of like, who are we? Who are we? What do we value? What is important?
Well, I think we need to, you know, it's very, very interesting. I don't know if you read it, but I had a letter to the editor about this mother of all bombs, you know, how dare them insult us that way. I mean, it seems like our values are just getting distorted. I mean, it's almost like people don't matter. It's profit, you know, mm-hmm. It's profit over people. It should be people over profit. So we're coming to the end of the segment here. So tell us a little bit more how Measure C is connected outside, you know, how it affects Sonoma County from outside of its borders.
Well, so definitely regionally it has a huge impact. This is, you know, if we can win Measure C on June 6th, that's Yes on C on June 6th, in Santa Rosa, it will be a huge victory, not just for Sonoma County, but also for the region, because we have brothers and sisters across the region who are fighting every day to pass similar ordinances.
So you think they're watching?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely they're watching. And the other thing is, as I said before, this is about more than rent control. This is about tenant protections. This is about keeping our schools together. This is also about neighborhood safety. You know, if people can put down roots in a community, in a neighborhood, they care about it. And those neighborhoods, rent control is actually shown to reduce crime. So this has a huge ripple effects across the board, regionally, and also in terms of issues across our community, that this will make our community a more thriving, a flourishing place to live. And it will help maintain that awesome character that is Santa Rosa. You know, I mean, if you look at St. Helena, right, in Napa, over 75% of the homes there are either second or third or fourth homes, or they're vacation rentals. There is no community. I have family over there who's been there for 40 years. There is no there. The people who work there commute from Vallejo or American Canyon. There is no town. And we are very, in a very real way, in danger of losing the fabric that is our community. And
our humanity.
Our humanity. And who do we want to be? Do we want to be commuters that come in and serve the ultra rich? Or do we believe that we who are
voters, we must become educated?
Amen.
We can't just listen to a flyer. Mm-hmm. We have to do a little bit of research. We have computers now. We have all kinds of things. Give us your website, how people can get a hold of you, how they can get more information about this measure, and anything else that you'd like to add.
Okay. Our website is www.fairandaffordablesantarosa.com. Again, that's fairandaffordablesantarosa.com. And if people want to get involved, we have space at the table for everyone. We're always trying to get folks involved. They can call me at 707-480-2315. We'd love to have you get involved.
Well, you know, I was just thinking about getting involved. I mean, if people just talk to their neighbors.
Yes.
You know, just get their neighbors out to vote one-on-one. Like, it's very, you know, folks, it's very important. We live in a democracy. People are complaining. They're saying, oh, my goodness, we're losing our democracy. This is happening. Well, of course we're losing it. When you look at 34% going to the polls, what chance do we have? And it feels like it's a consistent sabotage to make sure that we don't go there. Like, well, why should I vote? It doesn't matter anyway. Well, Annie, Dobbs Kramer, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here. And thank you, and a special shout out to the North Bay Organizing Project. You know, I've been going to all their meetings since almost from when they first opened their doors. I want to just do a shout out for my dear friend Susan Shaw, who is one of the best organizers that I know. And I want to thank all of you for doing such wonderful work here for the people of Sonoma County.
Thank you, Elaine.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Wow, lots going on. Well, you know, we're going to take a musical break right now. And then when I come back, like I said, I'm doing a little bit different. I have a few announcements. We'll do another musical break. And then we're going to have Susan Lamont on, which I'm really looking forward to it. But this, we're going to play this song. And I love this song. It's called We Were There. And it's by Beverly Grant. And this is in honor of May Day and Labor Day, which is happening today. And also, you know, just to let you know, my father, Solomon Holtz, was a union man. He belonged to Mailer's Union No. 9 in Los Angeles. And one day, it was really interesting. My mother asked me to go to the store, and I come from Los Angeles, and they used to have a supermarket called Ralph's. She sent me to Ralph's to get bread and eggs and all that. Well, little did I know, when I walked up to Ralph's, there were all these people there holding signs, and I just went in and bought the items my mother wanted. But I didn't know my father, as I was walking through this line of people, my father happened to be driving by. So when I came home, there he was sitting on the chair, and my father was one of the mildest men you want to know, and it felt like steam was coming out of his ears. And he says, "And what did you do this afternoon, my dear?" And I said, "Well, I just went shopping for Mom." He said, "Did you notice those people out there with signs?" And I said, "Yes." He says, "Well, they're on strike for better wages." And he showed me the scar on the top of his head that he got in 1930 when the newspapers were picketing and striking to make sure that they had an 8-hour day, a fair wage, and benefits. I mean, can you believe that? 8 hours. Their theme was, he told me, was 8 hours to work, 8 hours for recreation, and 8 hours to sleep. And that's what they were fighting for. My father got cracked over the head because he believed in equality and a fair wage for people. So this is to honor him, and also to honor all the women that were on the picket lines that were fighting. My grandmother herself was on a picket line. She worked in a factory that was sewing, and my God, I mean, it was horrendous. They had no safety whatsoever. So we're going to listen to We Were There by Bev Grant in honor of May Day, and a special shout out to all those who fought to bring forward the 8-hour day, child labor laws, benefit, worker safeties, and regulation. And to one of my favorite people is Frances Perkins. A shout out for her for all that she did to bring in Social Security, to bring in child labor laws, and to bring in many, many protections that we are enjoying today that many people are trying to take away from us. So here we go with We Were There, and we come back. We'll be back with a few announcements.
Thank you.
We are the children. Well, we made a little mistake here at Women's Basis. You were listening to We Are the World, and it was a beautiful, beautiful song. We actually talked about in rent control and rent stabilization, how it affects the young people. And it's true. We are the world. Children all over the world are crying. In fact, somebody asked me, why do Women's Spaces? And I have a confession to make, that sometimes I literally hear the children crying of the world. I will close my eyes and I see them, you know, just, it's just amazing, you know, what we see. Anyway, for you folks just joining us, you're listening to KBBF 89.1 Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And, you know, I want to do a shout-out to Amy Goodman and her crew at Democracy Now! They had 2 5-hour specials covering the march in Washington, D.C. on April 22nd and also on April 29th, which was the People's Climate March. The website, you know, I really encourage people to go on Democracy Now! And listen to part of it, because what happens is that you suddenly realize you are not alone, that there are thousands of people across the United States that are protesting, not protesting, but are I like to think of it, that are calling out for protection of our children, of our water rights, of our lands. I mean, you just heard Annie Dobbs Kramer talking about some sort of rent stabilization, which is really protection of tenants' rights. I mean, we have a right. I mean, what a horrible feeling it must be if all of a sudden someone gets an eviction notice and you don't know why, just because they want somebody else to move in or they want to make a bigger profit. Well, anyway, for Democracy Now!, just go to www.democracynow.org. You know, I watched both specials and I was so inspired that I just wanted to share it with anybody. And also, I had an epiphany at the March rally that I attended in downtown Santa Rosa, and a special shout out to all those who helped put it together. A lot of work and commitment. Ken and I did not do the march, but we attended the rally and marched as they came through Santa Rosa. It was so inspiring. Ken was sitting having a beer and I was sitting with him, and all of a sudden we just saw this huge crowd of people coming with drums going. It was absolutely beautiful. Well, anyway, as they were doing the talking and we were listening to music, I stood next to a friend of mine by the name of Robin Latham, and I was standing next to her, and she was holding her grandson, who was sleeping on her shoulders. He had the most adorable little sun hat, and as I stood there and looked at him, this feeling of passion and solidarity came over me. As grandmothers, we must speak out. As mothers, we must speak out. As women, we must speak out. When I look at that little boy and I look at that little hat, I says, oh my goodness, every child on this planet deserves to have a mother who is so, or a grandmother, who's so relaxed in a crowd that this little child can just fall asleep in their arms. I mean, it was so beautiful. And you know, when we start thinking about these, I don't want to put out the word, forget the word protest. There are thousands of people trying to protect the future for our children. And that's how we have to look at it. And that's a lot to think about. But, you know, we need to start thinking. I mean, I still cannot believe that we dropped this bomb. I mean, I still, when I think about it at night, I go, wait a minute. You know, what is happening here? What is happening? And we all are part of it. Because by our silence, we give our consent. And we have to look at that. If we don't speak out, we're saying it's okay. And guess what? It's not okay with me. Well, anyway, we're going to take another musical break, only this time I hope I have the right song. And this song, really, this is a Bob Dylan song that was written during the Vietnam War. And I'll tell you something, this song is just as important today as it was back then. It's called The Times They Are Changing. Like I said, it's a Bob Dylan song, and it's sung by a gospel group called the Brothers and Sisters. When we return, I will be talking with Susan Lamont, a local activist and one of the founders of the Police Brutality Coalition. And here we go with The Times They Are Changing by the Brothers and Sisters.
People, wherever you roam, drenched to the
My goodness, I remember when I first heard that song in the early 70s, the times they are changing, and they're changing again. Anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my next guest in the studio with me is Susan Lamont. Welcome, Susan. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Feels like home.
Well, Susan is one of my regular guests here. I try to have her on as often as possible. And actually, I'm trying to encourage her to do her own radio show. I think she has a lot to offer our community. Well, before we start, let me tell our listeners a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Susan Lamont is a longtime peace and social justice activist who is currently affiliated with Sonoma County's Green Party, Police Brutality Coalition, and Veterans for Peace. She is also a writer, a poet, and a photographer. I have to say, she is an amazing writer. Susan, I am happy to say, is a regular guest, and today we'll be talking about the issues that she is currently involved in. It won't happen here and Sonoma County Resistance. So welcome again, Susan. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you.
To begin with, you know, I always like to tell my listeners a little bit is how did you get involved in all of this? I mean, you're just one of these people that's been involved in so many things in our community. Where does your passion come from?
I've had it my whole life. I haven't been active as an organizer for my whole life, but my mother was active politically. My father, they wrote letters to the editor. They attended public meetings. They worked on stuff. And, of course, I've told you before about my great-grandmother, the suffragist, and her mother, who was also involved. And it just... long time history.
Well, you know, it's really interesting talking about your great... Is it your great-grandmother or your great-great-grandmother?
It was my great-grandmother, but it was her mother, my great-great-grandmother, that started her on her path.
Oh, it was amazing because, as you know, I'm president for the National Organization for Women, and the Board of Supervisors honored us at our 50th anniversary. And it was so interesting. We just happened to have that picture, and we took that beautiful picture. In fact, I believe it's on Women's Spaces. If people want to see it, go to womenspaces.com.
And I still have the sash, the Votes for Women sash, that was my great-grandmother's, but it's falling apart, so I can't wear it.
You should have, you know, they have, you can have it framed. They have special
things. I thought about it.
Yeah, they have special things. Because I have a doily that my aunt crocheted that I want to do the same thing to. Well, let's begin to talk about, you were very involved and very influential, actually, in writing the proposal, that's what I'll call it, what it won't happen here, Sonoma County Resistance. Can you talk a little bit about what that is and give us a little background of what you folks are doing and how you're, what you're accomplishing at this point?
Right. It's a statement directed to our locally elected officials, city councils, board of supervisors, telling them that we want them to refuse to cooperate with the Trump administration if any executive orders or laws come down that threaten the civil liberties of anyone. Most important, because it's most imminent, is immigrants' rights, but this extends to all potentially affected communities. So obviously the Muslim community, LGBTQAI, women, people of color, you know, the list is very long of groups who have, that the people in the Trump administration have threatened.
How is that going?
Well, we have had a number of what are they mostly calling sanctuary resolutions passed by not all of the cities, but most of them. Most of them will say they stand by those other communities, but nowhere do they suggest they will protect them in any way other than Petaluma. Petaluma has taken our wording and said, yes, they will stand by us and they will refuse to cooperate. Every other city has refused to sign that language, and the Board of Supervisors refuses to even discuss it. We have 150 organizations that have signed it, and well over 4,000 people have signed.
You know, I'm not saying that we're moving towards fascism. I mean, there's all kinds of debate about it. But one thing people really have to look at, they have to look at the history, especially in Nazi Germany, the way things started out. You know, they started out with stuff like this, immigration. All of a sudden, you know, if you've been in the country, if you don't have a paper, all kinds of different things. That was the first level of getting rid of people. And then the next level, before you know it, it went into citizenry, you know, people who had developmentally disabled. And then the next thing you knew, it went to the Jews.
Right.
And then it went to the gypsies.
Well, I think that what's happening with most of our elected officials is they are counting on our institutions and our laws to stand firm against this. And yet we've already watched how that has not worked. For instance, the refusal to consider Obama's Supreme Court nomination, that's unknown. I mean, that hasn't happened, you know, either up or down. And then once that space still stays open, now changing the laws about electing or choosing the Supreme Court justice by saying that the majority that was required before is no longer required. So they are taking things that have existed for a couple of hundred years and saying those things don't exist anymore. We're not doing it that way anymore. So that would mean that if you are thinking that some department or law is going to hold, there's no guarantee of that. We're seeing that being dismantled, and we need to be saying, doesn't matter what you do, we're standing with the people. And our elected officials have refused to do that.
I mean, that's kind of frightening. I didn't realize it was that deep.
Yes.
Well, they need a wake-up because they're people too, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I think if they keep their heads down, they'll be safe or something. I don't know.
Well, you know, it was another thing that was interesting about Nazi Germany that people need to be aware of, too, was once Hitler got into power, he got rid of all the people that supported him because he was very paranoid that somehow they were going to want to take over for him. So if you're an elected official and you think your world is safe by supporting all this stuff,
right, it does,
you need to think twice about that.
Yeah, history shows us.
Well, talk about, you know, another thing that I think is very important is the Police Brutality Coalition. And also what's happening right now with our own task force and different things that are happening. So talk a little bit about the Police Brutality Coalition, how it started and what it's about. And then I want to go into a little bit about what's happening with the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach. It's called ALERO, you know, and how it's been formed and what is happening there.
Okay. the Police Brutality Coalition was really preceded by the Justice Coalition for Andy Lopez, which came into being after Andy Lopez was killed by Deputy Gelhaus. And it was seeking to find some way to make our law enforcement, local law enforcement, more accountable to the people. And as a result of considerable protest and disruption of the city of Board of Supervisors meetings, the supervisors created a task force to look into and create various recommendations.
Which we were very involved
in. We were very involved in
that. 3 years of our lives volunteering, not one penny paid.
Yeah, meeting after meeting, multiple meetings each week. It was a lot of work. And
we became good friends over there.
The result was recommendations. 22 recommendations were sent to the Board of Supervisors. One of them, the supervisors refused to even enter into the record. We won't even get to that. But one of the main recommendations was the creation of what they called an Office of an Independent Auditor. That's what they were calling it at the time. And that was to try to oversee what happens at the sheriff's office. Law, because the sheriff is elected, and that's a joke, that's another topic, the supervisors actually can't tell him what to do. So this office, which eventually was named the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach, was created, and its job is to make is multiple, but one is to make recommendations to the sheriff's office on changes to policy. And it's interesting because if you actually read how the staff reworked those recommendations, there is no admission in there or any hint that anything could have been done incorrectly. And I think that was written the way it was, so because there's lawsuits, and if they had said the wrong word, probably, you know, it would be like admitting some kind of guilt. So it's more about improving something that wasn't wrong in the past. So it involves things like explaining to the public the sheriff's policies so that we would better understand why they do the things the way they do. And when I read that to say, if you had just known what our policies were, you would understand that it was all right that we killed Andy Lopez. Well, that's how I read it.
They not only killed him, you know.
Oh, I mean. I know. But, I mean, the way it's written is really, if you just understood, then you wouldn't be so upset. It's mind-boggling to read, for me anyway.
So the form, but the task force, this Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach, IOLERO, was formed.
Yes.
And I understand they had a community action committee.
Community Advisory Council, and that was part of that was one of the recommendations, too, that as part of this that they have.
And there were 11 members.
Yes, that they have community. So their job is to listen to the public and also listen to law enforcement. It's very specific. You're taking information from both and then coming up with recommendations. And so the office and the council have come up with recommendations around the sheriff and ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, that are very good. We're real happy with them. Good job. Where I think they've run into a problem is that one of the other jobs is to be outreaching to the community. And they have gone out and had community circles with law enforcement there. And one of the members of the Community Advisory Committee, the CAC, and who was chair, was Alicia Roman, who is a human rights attorney and immigrant supporter, and she has a lot of experience working with the immigrant community.
And also very vocal.
And very vocal. So she would, in public, essentially stand with the immigrants and acknowledge what was lived experience for them, while the CAC was trying to, and IOLERO and its director, Jerry Threet, were trying to tell the immigrant community you need to trust the sheriff. Well, the immigrant community is not that dumb. The immigrant community knows there has never been a reason to trust the sheriff, and now is certainly not the time to start, now that he's connected with Jeff Sessions and he supports Trump's immigration policy. So she got removed by Jerry Threat for a couple of things, several things. One is standing too much with the immigrant community. One is allowing the community to talk too much in meetings, wanted that limited, and that she was not respectful enough of the sheriff's office.
I understand one of the things from what I, because I've gone to a few meetings now, is that supposedly she rolled her eyes when there was some misinformation given. And her justification for that was that she just felt so frustrated that it was another mistruth that's being told to the community. And then she corrected the officer that the information he was given. And then the next thing she knew, she was removed not only as chair.
But removed completely, yes.
But from the also. And that's when the community, you know, for me, because, you know, I usually try not to give too harsh of an opinion, because I try to stay as neutral as I possibly can. But after putting 3 years of my life into this situation and all volunteer time, I mean, we did get a sandwich or two every once in a while.
That's right. They provide sandwiches.
But, you know, all these years, I mean, we did a slideshow, all kinds of things that they refused to even look at. And then all of a sudden this happens, you know. The only thing I can think of is, like, here's this man, which Sergeant Gelhouse, he's a sergeant now, he put 7 bullets in this young boy's body, never apologized, no remorse. You know, I often wonder about his wife. I mean, if this were my husband, I would have said, hey, Eric, we got to get out of town. I mean, even though you can justify it, you killed a child. You know, and then all of a sudden, here's somebody that confronts somebody, and she's being penalized and punished when all she did was state a truth, and he shot someone, and he got promoted.
Yeah,
I mean, and that doesn't make sense to me.
Right, and my personal opinion, and obviously I'm not inside Jerry Threat's head, but I think he wants to do the right thing, but I think he feels he's following the description of this office, he thinks, to the letter of the law, but I also think he's getting considerable pressure from the sheriff, considerable pressure from county council. And we told him from the start, we met with him, and we said, you have no idea how much pressure is going to come your way. And I think he now knows, but he's backed himself into this corner, and he has said, well, our office, it has to be neutral. The council has to be neutral. Well, I read it this morning. I read the recommendations. There is only one mention of the word neutral, and that is neutral in terms of taking citizen complaints. Otherwise, neutral does not appear in the recommendation. This is a total misinterpretation. The sheriff has more than half the county budget. He has a massive organization. He has phenomenal support. And Jerry Threat is saying, and by the way, this thing that the community wanted to represent the community may not represent the community. It has to be neutral. It's absolutely insane. And my last complaint, I know we're running out of time, is the press Democrat absolutely refuses to cover this issue. They know about it. They've received press releases about it. People have talked to the individual reporters. They will not report on it. You are all out there supposed to think that this office is working perfectly and working for you. No problem. Law enforcement is under control in Sonoma County, and nothing could be further from the truth.
Well, I have to make a clarification here, because after all, we are on the radio.
Yes.
Just to remind folks that all opinions here that are expressed are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. But I think that's very, very important, that what you're saying is that people have to pay attention. And I understand there's going to be a meeting tonight.
There is, yes. And they have decided, Jerry Threat has, I would say, manipulated the agenda, number one, so that this is not going to be discussed. It's not on the agenda. And the other thing is, there used to be more time for citizens to get up, or residents to get up and speak about items that aren't on the agenda, because that's one way of controlling the discussion, is if you can only talk about what's on the agenda and they refuse to put something on the agenda, then your issue can't be talked about. But they're not doing that. They have a little section, used to be long. Jerry has changed it. No more than five people may speak from now on.
Well, you know, there's a lot that has to be looked at. You know, are there any particular websites you can send the folks to?
We actually don't have websites. We do have a Facebook page.
Okay, go ahead.
So that's facebook.com/PBC Sonoma County. Facebook does not allow you to use the word police in your identifying code unless you actually are police. So it's PBC Sonoma County. And it won't happen here is facebook.com/it won't happen here. No spaces, dashes, punctuation, or anything like that.
Well, we'll have everything on the website. And I really want to thank you, Susan, for your participation and all the people that are participating. I mean, this is a very important issue. You know, people don't understand. It's not just about this, even this one issue, even though that is what we focus on because of the Andy Lopez situation, but this is affecting all citizens and their right to speak and their right to have a platform. So it's very important that we look at it. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here on Women's Space.
Thanks for having me on again.
No, it's wonderful. And I really encourage you. I think it's very important. I think we should have a show called Citizens Report or something, you know, and to the Press Democrat. Come on, guys. You know, you're our local paper. Let's get some more information out there. You know, I appreciate it. I mean, we're a subscriber. I had no idea.
Remember how they refused to cover our PowerPoint?
Oh, right.
Oh, that was the day they couldn't have a reporter there.
Anyway, I want to thank you, Susan Lamont, and also Annie Dobbs Kramer for talking about Measure C. And like I mentioned, if there's anybody out there that you would like me to talk to please email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. You know, we try to cover all points of views. I mean, this is very important. Our community is very important. And when you think about it, this is where we live. This is where our children go to school. It's very important that we pay attention. Well, that's it for our show. A reminder to your friends that Women's Spaces will be aired again, I hope, at 11 o'clock tonight. I'm so excited. I get to listen to my own program. Also, I want to let you know that I'm available for speaking engagements. And if you have a birthday or anniversaries and you'd like me to announce it, please email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. Also, check out the National Organization for Women, Sonoma County Branch. We now have a new Facebook. This is Elaine B. Holtz, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Because a woman in your life.